Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I am delighted to be joined in the studio now by Joe Richman of Radio Diaries, the public radio project that puts audio recorders in the hands of all kinds of folks. Joe's been doing Radio Diaries for a long time, so long, in fact, that he's now revisiting some of the original diarists, and this means a 16-year span. So you're about to hear some old, some new, and you'll be hearing some of the new pieces throughout the week on NPR and WNYC. So, Joe Richman, I remember when you were launching this 16 years ago, so congratulations on all your success and really contributions to our culture through Radio Diaries. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Very sweet. We're both a bit older now, aren't we?
I guess. And in a minute – speak for yourself, by the way. In a minute, we'll play a little clip to give people a taste of what these new pieces sound like. We'll also meet two of the original diarists. But first, tell us, why did you decide to revisit them now? You know, usually people do these around nice round numbers. It's the 10th anniversary or something like that. 16 years. Why now?
Well, we just missed the 15th, I think, is one answer. You know, the series really started with one of the diarists who I lost touch with for a long time, actually really kind of disappeared out of a lot of people's lives that she had known. And I got an email out of the blue from her a couple years ago and found out everything that had happened in her life, which was a lot, and it got me trying to track down all the ones that I had lost touch with.
So let's listen to a few clips from the new project. Here's a little of Melissa from New Jersey. 16 years ago, Radio Diaries listeners got to know her when she was 18 and giving birth for the first time.
Yeah. Today is October the 9th. And I have a brand new baby boy, 7 pounds. His name is Isaiah Seto. And we would have recorded the birth, but it happened so fast.
I was so young.
You know, when I was 18, I just thought you gave birth to a cute little kid and everybody was going to love him. You was going to love him. He was going to be healthy and he was just going to be smiling all the time and cheery-eyed and all that good stuff. And that's how you think when you're young.
Hello, welcome to the real world of parenting.
Melissa was actually the one I was referring to, where she had just kind of disappeared, left her home, actually taken every, you know, other than her son, a couple photographs, she disappeared, and she was the one that kind of inspired the series.
And another clip now that shows a diarist then and now. Here's Frankie, a high school football star from Alabama, once upon a time.
Hello, hello, hello. All right. My name is Frankie Luchuk. It's been 16 years ago I done a story.
Hi, my name's Frankie, and I'm going to give you a little tour on my Cadillac here, okay? That's out here in my front yard right now.
I know it's me, but it just sounds different, you know. The only thing that I loved more than my car was playing football. I was 100% very awesome football player. It's good to look back and know that I was good at something growing up.
So, Joe, in both of those clips, you get to have this amazing moment where someone re-listens to themselves from 16 years ago. Were there common themes that emerged when you had the diarists do that?
Well, the most interesting moments were when the old diaries were a prompt to conversation with their kids now. So Juan, for example, who I think we're going to meet, plays his diary about being an undocumented immigrant in this country for all this time to his daughter to explain kind of his situation. And Melissa, who we just heard, she plays her diary for her son for the first time. So it's those kind of like, you know, the kind of prompts to those conversations. It used to be the big scenes in these diaries were with kids and their parents. Now they're with these folks and their kids.
Right, and their past selves. So let's actually meet two of the original diarists. With me in studio is Amanda Brand, a New York City native who 16 years ago recorded a Radio Diaries diary about coming out as gay to her conservative Christian parents. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. And here's you when you were 17.
Yeah?
That's my mother making coffee. Excuse me. I burp like a fanatic. My mother's always yelling at me. How are you supposed to find a man? There we go again. How are we supposed to find a man? I tell her, I'm like, I'm not interested in men, you know? And she just like, she's like, all right, whatever.
So, Amanda, you're 34 now. I saw you smiling and blushing as that was playing. How strange is it to listen to yourself at 17?
It's almost a little surreal, you know, looking back. And I don't think I would ever take the opportunity to burp now on camera, on a microphone, or on anything. I think it's funny. It's a little embarrassing, but at the same time, it's refreshing, you know.
Where have you been living? I think you lost some of your New York accent.
You think so? Well, I moved into – I was from Queens, and I moved into the West Village. And so just being in Manhattan, I think being around a bunch of different people from all over kind of affects that a little bit.
Uh-huh. Before you go, later, I'll ask you if you would recommend any tourist attractions from Queens, because that's our next segment,
okay,
since they're trying to rebrand the borough as a tourist attraction for when people come here. But why did you agree to do a radio diary in the first place, and why did you agree to revisit it now?
I think at the first place, it was just something so fresh and different for me, kind of out of the box. I was pretty much down for anything new and different. And when Joe approached me about it, it was exciting. And so there was no hesitation about trying something new. When he asked me to revisit the piece, I was really excited again and enthusiastic about it, because things have changed so much with my family that I wanted people to see that. I wanted people to hear that, and I wanted for anybody out there that was experienced or is experiencing the same thing that I did 16 years ago to know that there's hope out there, and working on especially on your family, you know, your blood ties is extremely important, and that things can change and get better.
So how did it finally work out with your parents?
Well, over time, it was kind of this beautiful, just gradual, kind of natural growing up on both of our sides. And we have a loving relationship, very accepting, very open, caring, beautiful relationship today.
I'm curious if the original piece helped by being out on the radio, as it were. Did that help your parents deal with the situation, or did it in a way even make it harder because there you were a public figure for being a gay teenager?
I think it definitely helped. I think the piece itself back then was done, it was aired, and then it was kind of forgotten about. But the conversation that it evoked at the time, I don't think would have happened if there wasn't this Teenage Diaries piece that was being produced. I don't think on my own we would have just sat down and said, hey, listen, this is who I am, this is what's going on. It forced the issue. And I think, therefore, it forced the growth of the relationship.
So, Joe Richmond, you violated the Star Trek Prime directive. Don't get involved with the subjects on whatever planet you're visiting. Because yeah, you actually had – no, but seriously, you had an impact on at least this family's life by just doing a story on it.
Well, I think that, you know, that's always true. You bring the microphone in and it changes things. And that's, you know, one of the interesting things about doing the sort of diaries is that conversations happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. There's something about bringing the microphone into the process and sitting down with your parents or whoever it is, that it's a different kind of conversation.
Let's bring in one more diarist. On the phone is Juan, and we won't use his last name because 16 years ago he recorded his original diary about being an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. He's still undocumented, though he's now graduated from high school, started a family, and has a full-time job. He joins us from Colorado. Juan, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Doing great, and I'm going to play a little bit from your current piece, so everybody take a listen.
But look at me. I mean, I graduated from high school. I have a job, a nice car, a house. I got married, and I have kids. If you meet me on the street, it's not even going to cross your mind that I'm an illegal resident. I've been here for so long. I'm one of you.
So, Juan, I wonder if there was a moment over the last 16 years when you felt a shift from feeling like an outsider to realizing that most people wouldn't even know you're here illegally, or it might not even occur to them.
Well, I think it was all through high school when I became part of the society. I mean, being in high school, playing basketball, going to prom, all the normal things, you know, people do here in this country. It just kind of like pushed me into it, and little by little, I became part of what I am right now. You know, I'm here. I'm even though I'm still illegal, I feel like I'm part of society, and that's how the transition was.
Were you nervous then about doing a diary and even being that public with only your first name? And maybe you're even still a little bit nervous about it now, either one?
I was a little nervous when I did the first one, but now I'm not anymore because I'm sure of who I am and what I want and what I deserve.
And I guess you're looking forward to what seems to be a coming movement in Washington to actually give people like yourself a path to legal status, right?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because it's been a little over 20 years living here as an illegal alien, and I think it's time for me. I mean, I've been waiting for a long, long time.
So, Joe Richmond, how fraught was that for you 16 years ago when there isn't the, you know, path to this legislation and a lot more leaving people alone than there is now? In fact, if anything, over the last 16 years, there's been a more active deportation movement on the part of the government. How nervous were you 16 years ago when you first interviewed Juan that you were maybe exposing him to potential deportation by doing his story?
To tell the truth, I'm more nervous now than I was then, and it's because of the web. You know, back then, radio stories aired and they disappeared, and I think now we've been dealing a lot with this story, with Juan's story about, you know, the photographs. You know, we're not showing his face on the photographs and how much information to give, and it's something, you know, Juan has been very comfortable through the whole process, and we actually don't fear deportation, but he could lose his job. You know, that's a real risk, and so we've been trying to figure out where the lines are there.
Juan, did Radio Diaries, the original piece 16 years ago, play any role in your self-identity development or anything else about yourself?
Yeah, it really changed me. I mean, it gave me the opportunity to speak on the mic and to hear myself talking on the air and a chance to speak, you know, a chance to speak your mind and what was going through my mind then and now. And I'm always being grateful for this opportunity, and I'm glad I made Joe.
Hi, Juan.
So, Joe, after 16 years of Radio Diaries and all these kinds of stories, like we've been hearing some excerpts from live and on tape, what impact did you set out to have with the series, and how close do you think you've come?
God, I mean, I it's interesting. I think that, part of it is just, you know, creating kind of three-dimensional portraits of people who you might not otherwise meet, kind of everyday, you know, ordinary folks, and kind of getting that into the stream of the news. But doing these stories all this time later, it's like, you know, I was thinking about three-dimensional portraits, and it's like over time, well, time is the fourth dimension, you know, and it's like there has been something now about working with these folks again, and they're the same age that I was back then when I was working with them. It's just been kind of a wonderfully strange thing. And, something about doing it over the time that just makes it, for me, has been really, really, really great.
So now that we've whet people's appetite, just tell everybody what else you have going on the radio this week in terms of airings or live events off the radio. And I gather you even have a project to find the next crop of diarists.
Yeah, that's really cool. We're looking for two new teenage diarists, the next generation. And there's this wonderful storytelling site, Cowbird.com. And NPR Radio Diaries and Cowbird are partnering to solicit stories from teenagers and choose new teen diarists, and there are like more than 300 already, so that's going to be up on NPR's site. And we've got five stories every day this week on All Things Considered, and they're great. They're really good.
All right. We'll be listening all afternoon, and you can also get the links right on our page, folks, if you're more used to going to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to get to all the radio diary stuff. So, Joe Richmond, thank you very much. Keep it up.
Thanks, Brian.
Juan, thank you for joining us on the phone from Colorado.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And Amanda, I said I was going to put you on the spot because you're from Queens. When's the last time you lived in Queens, by the way?
13 years ago.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
So anything from, you know, your deep, dark past or even something more recent that you've gone and done that you would recommend as a tourist stop for people visiting New York in Queens?
In Queens, I always say you have to go to Flushing Meadow Park and check out all the World's Fair monuments, what have you, that are still around. They might not look so pretty, but it's definitely worth it. And then there's great food in Queens. It's the melting pot of New York City. You have every kind of cuisine, every kind of anything you want. is amazing. And I'm going to pull a plug. My sister's restaurant, Metropolitan Avenue, Danny Brown's Wine Barn Kitchen. First restaurant in Queens to have a Michelin star. Best food in town.
Amanda, this is public radio.
It's okay. All right. Hey, you can plug away, even on public radio, when it's your sister's restaurant. And I didn't know it was coming. And I asked you to promote something in Queens that was cool
right
to do.
It, right?
And I like that Flushing Meadows Park. I ran a 5K race a few years ago, which was mostly running around the Unisphere.
Cool.
And it was just so great to be in the shadow of that thing.
Yeah.
So thank you all again.
Thank you.
Best of luck.